podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota is the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. The Toyota hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power and savings with style. Not to mention top tech to help keep you connected. Plush premium interiors and the most advanced Toyota safety features. So, now you know who you're talking to. Toyota, the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. With a hybrid or electric vehicle built for every driver. Seriously, dear gas prices, do you really think you could stand in our way? Think again. Toyota hybrids. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer estimates, CY 2000 through 2021 sales.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're all having a good weekend. Here is another one of our subs weekly previews here on the Blue Room. Something to get stuck into over the next couple of days. Bit of an extended one this week. This comes from Subscribers Weekly that recorded on Thursday. It was myself, Paddy Boylan from The Athletic, and Mike D'Ascia. We spoke about a variety of different things, including Farhad Moshiri's statement, including the sponsorship deal as well. But the topic that everyone's talking about at the moment is going to come to Everton, really, is James Tarkowski. So we got the thoughts of Mike and we got the thoughts of Paddy on that. Whether it's going to be indicative of Everton's transfer strategy going forward and what it could mean for the other centre-halves at the football club as well in the next few weeks. This is a bit of a segment from a 55-minute show over on Patreon. Like I said, we discussed variety of different topics on the Blue Room Extra. You can get a load of exclusive content as we get through the summer. Works out about £1 a week. And you can get involved at the link in the description. If you just click on that, you can sign up straight away. No sort of contract. You can cancel it and restart it whenever you feel every month. So it's patreon.com/theblueroomextra if you want to log on and get access to all that exclusive content as we go into a big summer. Hopefully with a lot of incoming players, starting with James Tarkowski. So here is part of that show, starting off with Mike giving his thoughts on whether he's excited and happy about the signing of the former Burnley defender.
Absolutely. I'd be very happy with it if it comes off. I think that it's a really good opportunity to sign a player for not very much money in a position of need that isn't going to hinge massively on FFP concerns. It's the way Everton are going to have to move in the market at the minute. And Everton don't need to go out and spend, well, they do. If they could, they could spend £600-700 million on centre-halves and they could be the best centre-halves in the world, but they can't. What they need is dependability.
By the way, if Everton spent £600-700 million on them, they've managed to find a way to get ones that are worse than are already at the club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know they would. But
I think Liverpool would accept £600 million off us for Van Dijk. If we went to them and gave, I said, right, here you go, lads.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably would, wouldn't they, to be fair?
Probably, yeah. But I think that as a signing, you forget that last summer, David Moyes was lashing 30 million bids in for this. I didn't realise that until today. I was like, oh my God, that was last summer. It feels like a lifetime ago. And I'm sort of at this point now where we don't need anything more than consistency and dependability in those areas. I think when you look at the problems that Everton had at centre-half last season with Yerry Mina and all the problems that that's brought about, I feel like we've had conversations about Yerry Mina, Yerry Mina's fitness, Yerry Mina's contract for the past 2 or 3 years now. It's just got to that point where we all know it's sliding that way. We all know that either you sell him this year or he walks for free next year. He's not going to get a new deal. There's no way he can at this point. And if he does, it would be on absolutely pitiful wages, which he would not accept. I say pitiful, I'd take them, but you know what I mean. But yeah, Tarkowski, I'm more than happy with it if it comes off. I think it's the sort of sign you have to make. If you can match that with, say, a Flair signing in Warsaw, is a bit of a free transfer, maybe one who was playing at Brentford last year and Christian Eriksen, then suddenly you have to make up of a side there that where your FFP concerns haven't got any further out of hand and you suddenly improve your starting 11 by quite a significant amount. Just, you need dependable centre-half. Everton haven't got many of them. People talk about his age as well, where it's like, well, a lot of Everton centre-halves are actually quite young. There is no there is no leadership in that area. You can point to the likes of Michael Keane, but I don't think he's a leader. I don't see that really in him. I see someone who can play side by side with someone who does have those qualities, but I don't see leadership material from him. Everton could do with something like that. As long as it's not like every single signing they're going to bring in is 29, 30, 31, then surely you've got to have them players. They can't all be like youngsters. They can't all be young and hungry or whatever the profile is. There has to be some degree of sensibility about it, where they have to bring in someone who is a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit calmer.
Yeah, I think one of the key takeaways from the final part of the season for me was just the difference having experienced heads on the pitch had on that Everton side. I mean, the contrast maybe between the 3-2 defeat at Burnley, where you've got John Joe Kenny at right back, Mason Holgate in central midfield, and Jarrod Branthwaite at centre back, with Delph and Coleman on the bench, with the side that finished the season in pretty decent form, let's be honest. Because from the Burnley game on, the top four, top six in terms of points, the difference Coleman and Delph made in particular, I think that's experienced heads, but quality players who kind of know how to negotiate these situations. I think if Everton lacked anything in that middle stretch in the season in particular, it was those guys and those players. So you want to find a new Fabian Delph, a fitter version of Fabian Delph. You want to find somebody who does more or less everything that Yerry Mina does, but a fitter version of him as well. And I suppose you look and you think, were Everton weak last season? It was in terms of conceding goals from set pieces, losing aerial duels, just not being strong enough around the box. The basics, really. Of the game, the fundamentals of the game. And I suppose in Tarkowski, there's somebody that has a proven track record of doing it now in the Premier League, of getting his England call up, of impressing. Mike points out there's interest from David Moyes and West Ham last summer. I think Leicester had been interested at varying times. Leicester, of course, wanting to actively play out from the back and play football. So I think it'd be a little bit reductive to purely cast and pigeonhole Tarkowski as a Burnley stopper, a stopper in the Dyche system. I think Dyche's system necessitates that kind of defending, but it almost inhibits players. And before then, Tarkowski was at Brentford, playing in a much more expansive system under Mark Warburton in particular. So I think it makes sense from a whole load of perspectives. The other clear one and very important one this summer is the financial element, and it's that you've got a guy here, there will be a sizable sign-on fee here for Tarkowski, but he's a free agent, so it's an easier deal to do. You don't have to negotiate with the selling club as such. In the case of Burnley here, it's purely a discussion between yourselves and the agent and the player, beating off some interest from elsewhere for him. In fact, I think the fact that he's a North West lad helps the situation here, a Manchester lad. And he's like I say, he's a free agent, so you can almost get him in through the door early doors. So he's ready to resume training on July the 1st with the rest of the team, hopefully. So I think that if this was going to be symptomatic of the whole transfer strategy, I'd maybe be a little bit concerned. It would, to me, feel as though Everton were falling back into those old habits of giving 100 grand a week deals out to 29, 30 somethings. And in general, I do think we need to move away from that strategy. But probably in central defence and in central midfield more than anywhere else, you need those profiles there. You need a little bit more experience. You need a little bit more calm and savvy. So young and hungry elsewhere, please. But I think James Tarkowski comes in, and if he plays 35 games as he tends to there or thereabouts every season, then I'm pretty sure he'll be a solid, reliable defender for Everton. He'll be worth the money they pay for him.
Yeah, he's played 30 or more games every season in the Premier League, hasn't he, since he's come to Burnley. Mike's got his head in his hands.
Five in his last three seasons.
We're going to go. Hopefully we don't gabamon him, because he had a pretty good injury record, didn't he? But just interesting what you're saying there, Paddy. Quickly come back to you. You said about the, you know, Rob Vera's favourite terminology, the young, hungry players that we're looking at. Do you get the sense from Lampard and Fellwell, that's going to be the way they're going to look to go? Is that sort of something that the club are going to try and focus on?
That's certainly what they're saying at the moment. And as with anything, when it comes to Everton, and I'm sure we'll say exactly the same thing later in the show about Farhad Moshiri. The proof is very much in the pudding. It's whether, for example, the owner is willing to stop listening to certain names in the background, whether he's able to resist the temptation of jumping in on a deal for a Gareth Bale equivalent. And I'll just pluck him one name out of the air there because he's a free agent. That's the kind of signing that Everton have obviously looked to make in the past. But they're saying that the policy now moving forward will be not exclusively the young and hungry model. Obviously, sides need to be balanced. There needs to be experience in certain positions. But they are suggesting that they want a new type of profile, and there will need to be an emphasis now on finding players who are capable of either playing for Everton for 5-10 years or more, or being sold on at a decent profit. That makes sense. The situation almost demands that, given where they are financially. The only way out of this FFP hole they're in, if you can call it that, is to start to wheel and deal more diligently, to sell a player here or there when they're just starting to decline. I don't necessarily completely disagree with selling Luca Dean. It was just the circumstances surrounding it. I mean, a 29-year-old, I think 28-year-old fullback in Luca Dean's case, soon to be 29. I think there's a case to be made, given his wages, for eventually phasing him out and selling him on. It was just the fact they did it in the middle of the season and brought in a 22-year-old unproven lad from Ukraine who actually looks quite promising in the end. So I think the policy now will shift a bit. I think we will see Thelwell and Lampard focus on certainly that bracket of kind of players that can come in right now and perform, but have still got further room for growth. I'd love to see Everton do what Palace did last year with somebody like Conor Gallagher and go out and... Conor Gallagher would be great, by the way. I think he'd be perfect for Everton's midfield in some ways. But versions of that signing, where you just find players that are on the peripheries of these squads, these big bloated squads, promising players that are effectively playing for the future, and bring them in. So I think there will be much more of that. But obviously Tarkowski's a sign that there still needs to be a focus on shoring up what has been a fragile core as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to sign Billy Gilmore, aren't we? That feels very nailed on, that one, given what you were just saying there, Paddy. But just finally on the defence, Mike, this, I mean, Paddy might be able to tell me otherwise here, but this seems to me as though the Tarkowski deal is one that Everton are sort of going to get done now, and then we'll think a little bit later in the summer about which defender we potentially move on and see which avenue sort of open up for us. It feels like they're getting him in and then just seeing what happens. But what do you envisage going on with the defence, because we've got four other lads there who are senior centre-backs. You've got Seamus Coleman there, who effectively played as a third centre-back in a back three last year. Roll your eyes as much as you want, mate. He was fine in that position last year, towards the end of the season. Jarrod Branthwaite looks like he's obviously going to go out on loan, but I mean, someone's going to have to go, aren't we, for James Tarkowski? You can't effectively carry five or five and a half senior centre-backs when you need to strengthen other areas. What do you envisage happening with that part of the squad?
Well, I think we've already spoken about it. The Colombian elephant in the room is that Yerry Mina's got to go.
Will he offload them, do you think, though? Because yeah, he's going to be on big wages. Who's going to pay money for a player that doesn't play hardly any football matches? I could easily see a situation where he stays for another year and somebody else moves on.
Me too, absolutely. Well, I think that is the aim. That in an ideal world, you get Yerry Mina off the wage bill, because do you know what? He's absolutely excellent when he's fit. You just can't rely on that. We had the one season where he played a fair few games and that was it. The rest of his time has literally been bit part, just fits and starts, and Everton aren't in a position to do that right now. I think the ideal scenario is that Yerry Mina goes this summer and you get maybe around 10 million for him, something, just a chunk of cash, anything that can just reimburse something. If not, then I think you're probably looking at maybe Michael Keane. I think Michael Keane's the other one that possibly clubs would be thick enough to take off us. I think of all the clubs that are out there, that Mason Holgate still has a little bit of the whoopsies about him.
Palace, that lovely left footed control and finish.
I know, and we'll always have that, won't we? But we'll also always have the everything else. And I think that with Keane, it's sort of that point now. How old is he now? He's got to be about, what, 30-ish?
29, I'd say. He must be about the same age as Tarkowski, I'd say, yeah.
So it's another one where it's like, again, he's that sort of age where we've spoken about it for years and years and years. Everton have got to know when to sell, when to let go and when to say goodbye. And these players, I think that when they do reach about 29, 30, and they maybe got a couple of years left on a deal, maybe 2 or 3 years, okay, fine, cash in, off he goes. Maybe get a bit of half decent cash on, who knows, 10 to 15 again, off you go. Maybe go to, like, I don't know, Palace or somewhere.
Linked to West Ham as well, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah, so just somewhere that will take him. Brilliant, yeah, great. But I do think that it'll be one of those two that goes, because when you look at age profiles and all those sorts of things, at least Mason Holgate still has a bit of growth to go. Again, he was more dependable towards the end of last season. He did stand up and he actually put a good shift in. And you would say that long-term, there's probably more profitability to be gained from Mason Holgate than there is from Michael Keane and from Yerry Mina. So they're the two that I do think would be the first priority to get out the door. But it's a tough one with that area because the room in general is so young. When you look at the likes of Godfrey and Branthwaite and still Holgate, it's like the core of players there, they still do need that level of leadership. So if you do get rid of Yerry Mina, who obviously is a very popular figure in the dressing room, that's going to leave a massive vacuum when it comes to that leadership thing. But that's why, again, Michael Keane seemed pretty perfect to me, because just doesn't give off that vibe. He doesn't really give off that massive vibe that everyone's going to go, bloody hell, we're really missing that big black hole that is Michael Keane's personality in the dressing room, aren't we? I'm not getting that, I'll be honest with you. And as someone who is also quite dull, that's fine. We're allowed to be, what we do. But yeah, that would be my port of call, to be honest with you. You've got to look for one of the two agent centre-halves to go out and make room for this. You can't be getting rid of one of the youngsters to just stack up on old folks again.
When you need milk for Zoe and a cold brew for yourself, King Soopers delivery will get you just what you need in as little as 30 minutes. Open the King Soopers app and start your cart, whatever the cart. King Soopers, fresh for everyone. Delivery times not guaranteed. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
When you're a Boost member, you get free delivery, double fuel points, and lots more. Sign up at kingsoopers.com/boost.
Social Podcast Network.